Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to the smartest man in talk radio.
You're going to be listening to one of the smartest people that you probably... You know who this guy is. It's me.
He's Jim Blasingame.
I am smart. I am smart. S-M-R-T. I mean S-M-A-R-T.
The Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's my pleasure to continue to be with you. And those of you who just tuned in, welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here. You're going to be glad you did because Amy Menefee is back in the building, so to speak. Amy is managing editor of Business and Media Institute, which is an organization that puts together what the media says and what the marketplace is doing and comes up with the truth. And they've published recently the media's top 10 economic myths of 2000. I love this list. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I love this myth because a lot of the things you talk about in here are things that I've been talking about. For example, things like the stock market is the economy. Guess what? The stock market is not the economy. The stock market is a derivative of the real economy, which is Main Street, which is where small business owners live and work and save the world, basically, Amy. Not that I have an opinion about this or anything.
So that's
one of the things that I believe very strongly about. One of the things that you guys talk about, and this is one of your myths, anyone who denies global warming shouldn't be taken seriously.
Yeah, last time I was with you, I think we got down to number 7 on our list, counting down the top 10. And just a reminder, this list can be found at businessandmedia.org, so folks can follow along or check up on it later. We've got some videos there, which I'm sure people will want to watch. And number 7, the global warming myth. You know, there's a new report that just came out, I believe it was last week, showing that about 400 scientists have basically signed on to saying, you know what, we are not on board with all this global warming hype and all of the policies that people are trying to put through because of it. And so that's 400 scientists questioning this.
Amy, this is one of the first public policy topics that I covered when I started doing my show back in 97, because Kyoto was just about to be signed when I started doing my show. And I started covering this, and 10 years ago, Amy, there were plenty of scientists around the globe who were disagreeing with the premises of the Kyoto Accords. So what's happened since then, as you know, there's been a peace prize awarded to one individual and a group.
Right.
The individual, as we all know, is Al Gore, former Vice President Al Gore. And the group is a group of scientists, I've forgotten the name of the organization. Do you know the name of them?
Yes, it's the IPCC, which stands for the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, which is a UN panel.
Right. Now, I have had one of the 1,000 members of that group on my show. He won one thousandth of a Nobel Prize because he's a member of that group. He completely disagrees with Al Gore.
Yeah, there are some of the scientists on that list of the 400 are either current or former members of that body of scientists, which completely goes against what the media have been telling us all this time.
That's right.
You know, the quote-unquote consensus. And I would also add to what you mentioned about Kyoto that, you know, even the U.S. Senate back then voted 95-0 against joining Kyoto.
Yeah, 97.
So, you know, they back then, and some of our beloved current senators were also included in that vote. People who now want to join any and all kinds of treaties about this.
I saw a report the other day, not an opinion piece, but an actual newspaper report. This was reporting on the death of certain species of birds. And in the report, it actually made reference to the fact that the reason these birds were dying was because George Bush didn't sign the Kyoto Accords. Basically what it said. And what I like to remind people about, folks, is President Clinton, and neither President Clinton or President Bush have ever had the Kyoto Agreement in front of them to sign.
Yeah,
it's never been presented to them.
Has to remember those 95 senators that voted against it.
That's exactly right. And what we also know in the meantime, Amy, is that Europe has had a problem, and they've been basically defaulted on a lot of the Kyoto things that they signed because they can't comply with it.
Yeah, that's right. In fact, a lot of the countries that were supposed to decrease their emissions have increased.
Right.
In the years since then, so it
exactly.
hasn't been working the way that they had hoped it would.
The U.S. is now proven to have been prudent on not signing
right.
the Kyoto Accords, but you don't hear that in the mainstream media. Stand by, 22, right back with Amy Menefee right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
You don't know what you got until it's gone, and I find out a little too late.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and having a great visit with our friend Amy Menefee, Managing Editor of Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute, and we're talking about some of the media myths that have been perpetuated and created by some of the myths, I should say, about the economy that the media, the mainstream media, primarily television, have been, and also newspapers and magazines, I guess we should say, and probably even some blogs have been perpetuating. You know, one last thing about that I'd like to point out about the last thing we were talking about was global warming and the Kyoto, Amy. One last thing I'd like to point out is 10 years ago when I was telling my audience that I didn't like Kyoto, one of the main reasons was, as I said, I believe Kyoto is nothing more than an attempt to reduce the competitiveness of the United States.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
That's all it was, in my opinion.
Yeah, back then, not that far ago, but a few years ago, we did a report at BMI called Destroying America to Save the World.
Exactly.
And
the thing is China, see, now is one-fifth of our economy, but their emissions are on par with our emissions.
Yeah, I believe they've actually passed the U.S.
They may have.
As being the biggest producer of the so-called greenhouse gases.
Exactly, but yet they were never a signatory or never were even going to be asked to sign Kyoto. They currently have been asked to do something similar to Kyoto, and they refused again. So
right.
the thing that I want to also I like to remind people that 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under 5,000 feet of ice. So, yes, the world is warming, Amy. And there are a lot of other things we could talk about on that, but let's move on down and talk about some other stuff, some of the other myths. Number six, give that one to us.
Number six was that you better not eat or drink that. Just whatever you're eating or drinking right now, it's probably, you know, there's probably something wrong with it, according to the media. We saw all kinds of stories this past year that you shouldn't grill, you know, have your good old American cookout, that was going to be dangerous. You know, obviously any drinks, any beverages out there that you buy at the store, just about everything, they found something wrong with it. And
remember when they told us eggs weren't good for us?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And then a few years later you get research that eggs are excellent food?
That's right. That's
remember when they told us that milk was bad for us, and now we know that milk is an excellent food for building strong bones?
Yeah, there's a new study out, you know, almost every week, and a lot of these stories, what they came from this year, is a specific group called the Center for Science and the Public Interest, and that sounds really nice because it has the word public interest in it, but this is one of those quote-unquote consumer groups that when you see them come on the TV, you know, they're actually a pretty radical left-wing group that is very anti-business. I think they would prefer that we all, you know, grow our own vegetables and only eat that. So they're very anti the system that brings us our food and all of that. So they're behind a lot of these stories.
What about the number five? Talk to us about that.
Well, our number five myth this year was that most Americans are losing their homes. Because if you watch the news coverage, you would feel like just about everybody on every block.
Both of your next door neighbors are going to be in foreclosure right now.
Exactly. I mean, and the important thing to know here is that RealtyTrack is one of the sources of a lot of these statistics. And we looked into this and found, and we actually talked to the folks at RealtyTrack who agreed with us that the media have been inflating their numbers. And because the reason for that is that when you go into foreclosure, you have to file a lot of different paperwork, of course, and there's a lot of stages of the process. And so their numbers actually show how many of those filings have happened, which means a single house could be counted three times, maybe. And
right.
So if you take that number and use it as the total foreclosures, then it can greatly inflate that total. And that's why a lot of these reporters have just been basically freaking out, saying, you know, oh, we got record high foreclosures and all these things. And it's one of those cases where you have to look a little bit closer at the numbers.
Let me tell you a funny story. About a month ago, I was at a little retreat with about eight people total. And we were talking about the economy. And this one woman was just, she said, folks, we are in trouble. We're not going. You know, she acted like Armageddon was coming. You know, and she says people are losing their houses left and right. We've got, this is a national catastrophe. I mean, she just went on and on and on. I said, and of course, all the other people were soaking this up. I mean, they were believing every word.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, wait a minute, Carol. I said, what do you do for a living? And she said, I work for a law firm. I said, what law firm? What does the law firm do? She said, we work with banks who are trying to help people with foreclosures. And I said, so basically what you're saying is your entire world is around people who are in foreclosure. She said, that's right.
Yeah.
And I looked at all the other people. I looked at all the other people and I said, are you losing your home? Do you know anybody who's losing their home? You know, et cetera. No, and nobody acted like they you know, that any of that was happening to them. So, you know, it's not. Do you know what the number is? You know what the foreclosure number is?
I don't right now, because we'd have to get the updated total for the end of the year at the point where
It's a small percentage, and I heard recently that it's not even close to the number of foreclosures that we had back in about in the 1991.
Well, it's like you said, perspective there is a really important thing.
Right, and let me tell you something else. People have jobs. Mortgagors are gonna help people who have jobs stay in their homes. I've been saying that for a long time. So it's not as bad, folks, as they say. Tintel, stay with us. Right back with Amy Menifee right after these messages.
For all your tears, your heart may be broken tonight.
Are you reeling in the east? Snowing away the clouds. Are you gathering up the tears?
Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Amy Menifee. She is the Managing Editor of Media Research Center's Business and Media Institute. And we're talking about some of the media's top 10 economic myths of 2007. Amy, give us that website one more time, please.
Sure, it's businessandmedia.org, and is spelled out, businessandmedia.org.
All right, check it out, folks, and don't forget to check out my websites at smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Amy, number three myth is lenders are responsible for everyone's debts. Tell us about
yep.
that.
This has been a big one this year. Basically, that if you're drowning in red ink, whether it's your credit card debt, your mortgage, your student loans, we saw all different kinds of loan stories out there that, you know, it's the people who loaned you the money that are responsible, those big bad lenders, and not much personal responsibility coming out in any of that coverage.
Right, exactly. And when every one of us had to sign for all that.
That's right. I mean, we saw there was one story on CNN where they had a guy and he was very unhappy because he was about 3 months or more behind on his mortgage payments, and he said, I did not know that I had an adjustable rate mortgage until a couple of months ago.
Right. Baloney.
I don't know what to tell that guy.
Yeah, I don't buy that. But I will tell you, though, there is one, this thing about everyone's losing their homes being a myth, and the credit card, I mean, and this number three, the lenders are responsible for everyone's debts. There is something out there that could be a little bit of a scary thing, and that is, if people get to the point where they can't make their minimum payments on their credit cards, and then the credit card default could throw people into bankruptcy, which is an automatic trigger of default on your home mortgage. You could be current on your mortgage, and I'm pretty sure that some mortgages, most mortgages, have a default covenants. That if you take bankruptcy, that's an automatic default of your mortgage.
I've started to see a few stories about credit cards just in the last few days, and I think this is going to be another one where a lot of times the personal responsibility angle is just not present in the media coverage.
Right.
And this adds to the whole culture that we have, that you should be able to have everything that you want,
right,
and just charge it up and
right,
you know, think about it later. And we really redefine
right
what our needs are.
I want to get to number two. Tell us what that one is.
Sure. Number two is that free health care would be great. This is a big one that's probably going to continue into 2008 with the election coming up.
Right.
And we saw a huge push this year with all the Democratic candidates, especially coming out with their different plans for health care. And we saw Michael Moore's big push with the movie Sicko,
right,
that really just overwhelmed the media coverage for a while. Of course, one of the myths that this is based on is that we have 47 million uninsured Americans. And we really broke down that number and found a lot of different constituencies in that 47 million, that the real number of uninsured, chronically uninsured Americans is much lower. Some numbers put it at maybe about 8 million, which is
all right,
far lower.
And do each one of those people, does every one of those people have access to government services?
Well, there are a lot of people in that number who are already eligible, and they just haven't applied,
right,
they haven't signed up.
Right.
There are people in that number who make more than the median household income and maybe just haven't purchased health insurance.
That means they can afford their own insurance, they just don't buy it.
Right, and the one of the most important numbers for people to know is that about half, almost half of anyone who is uninsured at any given time is actually going to get health insurance again within 4 months. And
right,
that number comes from the government. And
exactly,
so there's a very transitional population out there. It's not a bunch of people who are going without forever.
What's crazy is they want to do the European model and the Canadian model, and those people want to have a system more like ours. So,
the whole idea that it's free, you know, we saw Michael
right
Moore saying, oh, come over here to France and it's all
right
free and everything. Well, you should look at their tax rates.
The lines they have to stand in. Amy, I want to wrap. We've got to wrap up, but quickly, the number one myth is the U.S. economy is in recession. Guess what,
that's
Amy?
Right.
That might not be a myth. We might actually be in a recession right now.
at
this quarter may be the beginning of it.
Well, we haven't seen that yet. Last quarter we had actually excellent growth. And just a reminder to everyone out there that there is a definition of an actual recession, and it's two quarters of negative growth. We haven't seen that yet. Actually, the forecasts are not for negative growth this quarter.
But the reason why this is silly to talk about it, for the media to talk about it, Amy, is because we may be out of it before we knew we were in it. So what difference
does
it make?
We just want to hear the facts, you know?
There
we
you
don't
go
want to hear all this speculation.
I agree. Amy, thanks for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Amy Menifee, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back, I promise. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.